where you may be seated in his presence. To those looking online and to those in the room, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being with us this morning. God is good and gracious, and we believe his word is always right. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, it's time for the Laws of Prosperity, where we minister to you in relations to finances. You know, the one thing I've discovered about tithing and giving, it never ends. You can plant a seed today, and 5 years from today, it is still reproducing in the kingdom of God, as long as you don't let it slip. You need to remind, God said, remind me of my word. Therefore, as tithers and givers, we have a right and a responsibility to remind God of the seed that we planted. Now, the tithe, you know, I've taught this for years and for years. You cannot get the increase off of tithing, as some think. And that's where the misconception comes. Because people think, well, I tithe, but I'm not getting anything back like I thought I was going to get. Well, tithing is a door opener. Say a door opener. You are tithing because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's kind of like, let's see if I can put it the way I used to give it. If you're a member of Sam's, that $35, $40 a year, that's not what you're using to spend to buy groceries. That gives you the door opener to all they have made available. How many understand that? That's our responsibility back unto the kingdom, is the tithe. That's the agreement we have with God. Now, giving is left exclusively up to you. How much do you want God to give back to you? Because according to Luke, it said it is measured out according as you measure. Oh, shucks. Now we're hitting on something. See, if you're gonna, if you got a set amount in your mind that you're going to give, no matter what God say to you to go above, that's all you can get back. Don't get angry. See, you're giving, okay, if you're going to give back, you're giving 2%, start where you are. Don't nobody get embarrassed, because there's nothing wrong with your $2 if that's your best seed. I'm challenging you, because we don't always give God our best seed. We give him what we don't got used to giving. And sometimes that's not what you need in totality to get you out where you are currently. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? When you've been affected by something, you know, it's one thing to have a cold and you can go home and get enough rest, drink enough liquids, eat the right kind of food, the cold go away. But how many of you know pneumonia is a step up? So now we got to intensify in order to come out of pneumonia. You got to do something different, say something different. You got to give more attention to yourself with pneumonia. You got to give more attention to your seed when you are having financial issues. And when you don't have them, you need to attend to your seed. Because it's the vein whereby God has created wealth. I was watching Dr. Bill Winston. Man, if y'all didn't watch his business conference, you need to go back and catch it. He was able to give away $10,000 in gold bars. They gave away stock. I don't mean $50 stock. No, they gave $10,000 in stock. That's going to make somebody, the lady that won it, I mean, she was just happy. They told her, said, don't touch it. Act like you ain't got it. That's what you do when you got stock. But I'm just watching. You know what? And then he awarded 100 people at $3,500 per person to go to his business school. That's $350,000, y'all. 100 people go to sit in his school for 9 months. That takes money. I don't know where y'all got this broke God from, but I'm glad I don't serve him. If your God is broke, you need to switch gods. Because we got a rich God. But it starts with a seed. The seed you have now, you need to give it in faith. Trusting God to give the return on it. Not trying to figure out who's going to give it back to you, because you don't know who you're going to use. It might be the person that you least likely think got it. Don't try to figure out how God will give it back to you. Just trust him. I've learned that. Because sometimes some people give me money, I'm going like, man, I didn't even know they had that much money. Because just at appearances, they didn't look like that. You know what I'm saying? And based on where they live, this is why you can't, because God might be speaking to somebody so they can come out. They need a vein to sow into. That's why you need to stay the good soil, because you're still a vein for somebody. I got little kids that here sowing in me because they believe I'm good soil. And it's multiplying on their behalf, because you know what? Every person that's sowing to me, man, I got a special prayer for you. And I know things are changing in your life, so parents, you get ready. Don't look, don't teach your children they can't afford something. You tell them, say, let's pray about it. They are givers. They got expectation. Don't you kill their expectation. We always told our children, well, let's pray about it. You put it before the Lord, and we're going to come in agreement with you. And that's how they learn how to use their faith, through the seed. And today, they're all grown, still using their faith and the seed. Because it works, people. Come on, stand to your feet. I said tithing and giving works. If anybody say it doesn't work because they didn't work it right, because it works. If you got a business, your business need to tithe and give. Or else your business going to stay broke. Don't tell me you can't tithe and give from a business. I don't want to hear that one. God will explode your business when you do him right. He'll give you more business than you ever thought you would ever get. He says, honor me with all of your substance. With the first fruit of all your substance. Honor me. And then he said, watch out. I'm going to open the windows of heaven on you. Oh, glory. And I tell you, I'd rather have his windows open on me than anybody AC. That's an inside joke. I'd rather have God's windows open on me. How about you? Glory to God. Well, Father God, we thank you for this great covenant called tithing and giving. Now, Jesus, you are indeed the high priest over the tithe and the offering. Therefore, we brought out the whole tithe. We have not demoted the tithes in our hearts. Neither have we transgressed against the tithe. But we've kept this tithe holy, set aside for your use only. Now we've also brought the offering that you put in our hearts. So cheerfully, joyfully, and hilariously, we are sowing our seed this morning, because we know that you are the Lord of the harvest. You are the one that causes increase. So with great boldness, we decree and declare that money coming to us, and money is loosed upon us for the cause of this great and wonderful gospel. If you're in agreement, let's tithe and give, because we got supernatural expectation.
If you would like to support Rapture Ministries with a financial gift, please visit us over at raptureministries.org and click the give button to securely give through PayPal. If you're a local member, please remember to include your CID number and your giving breakdown. Thank you.
So grateful that you made us end-time financiers of this great gospel. What an honor it is to work with you in the earth. So we receive the bounty on all of our giving in Jesus' mighty name. And I am rich. You need to say, I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. And I ain't never gonna be broke another day in my life. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I have all that I need, plus more, to do the work of the kingdom. If you believe that, go ahead and shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Where you may be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. All right. Got the timer going. All right. We're still talking about the blood covenant. The blood covenant. Hallelujah. And, you know, as I begin to study some more, and, you know, I'm going to repeat until the Lord says stop repeating. And you need to hear this again and again. Go back and listen to the lessons again and again. I enjoy listening to Pastor DJ on Wednesday night. I go back and watch him, and I learn. How many of y'all learning from looking at the lessons again? You may not grab everything in this one setting. So go back and look at them. And those of you looking online, share this lesson with somebody else. Don't be stingy. We are graciously coming into your home. Share it with your tried and trues and your new boos. Go ahead and share this lesson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we're still talking about the blood covenant. All the earth was to know the invisible God through the physical, visible man. So when God put man in the earth or on the earth, he had a mindset of man colonizing the earth with the heaven culture. That was the whole plan. And therefore, all mankind that came out of Adam could see the invisible God by what we did on this earth. We would know God. You know, our children are the physical expression of who we are. If you are a parent and you have children, that's why when, even if I'm not around and my husband not around, people can look at our children and say, that's Dale and Diana's children. Because they are the physical expression of who we are. It would be very embarrassing if somebody was to see one of our children and they did not dress in commensuration with how we look. Now, our styles may vary, but they should look accordingly. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We're not talking style. We're talking about you dressing to look like your dad and your mama. Because your dad and mama, what, rich. And rich kids, they don't, you know, they might go buy pants with holes in them and stuff like that, but it's not because that's what they have to wear. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So your children is the express image of you. Jesus became the express image of God in the earth. And we're going to talk about Jesus, maybe not today, but you're going to come back next Sunday because this is a continuation. Because we're going to get this blood covenant understanding in our life so that we can better apprehend in our lives the things that God has already provided for us in advance. Man, Jesus did what he did so that mankind could see who we are, who they are, rather, and what we have and what we can do while living in a physical body. That was the whole purpose Jesus came, was to realign us with heaven again. And we're going to talk about that a little bit maybe today. If not, we'll talk about it next Sunday. But you need to understand, this has nothing to do with just eradicating sin. It had everything to do with the king, his kingdom, and his children. And we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not of the earth. Woo. Do you see why the devil hates you? Because you are the express image of God. Through Jesus, you are the express image of God in the earth. You represent God in the earth. The devil hates you for that. Now, we'll talk about him a little bit today because you need to know why he hates you so much. So the fall of man was his declaration of independence from the kingdom of heaven. It was the declaration of a colony from the kingdom of heaven, kind of like some of the islands like Bermuda and all of the little islands. All of them were ruled by Great Britain. The Bahamas, all of them were ruled by Great Britain. And when they broke free, You could say they declared their independence. They were colonized. Even though they are no longer under the British rule, they still do British activity because they were colonized. And the whole life is still active by what the British taught them. They still talk like the Britons to some degree. How many of y'all don't understand? Because that was the whole plan of God. Our language was supposed to be the same. We shouldn't have a different language in the kingdom of God. It's one language and it's called faith. So we see here that man declares his independence from the kingdom of heaven. So earth, along with the man, earth has declared its independence through the fall of Adam. Why? Let's look at Isaiah 53. See, because God gave man what? Dominion. Say dominion. Isn't that what he gave him in Genesis? He gave him what? Dominion over all this earth. So God couldn't just come back in here and take that dominion back any kind of way. Let's look at what I tell you, Isaiah 53:6. Let me get it so we'll be on the same page. Isaiah 53, verse 6. When you have it, say, I have it. So we can say that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, because that's what happened. Man went astray from God when he declared his independence. And I'm going to share something with you that sometimes you don't. I'm trying to put all the puzzle pieces together for you so you can have one good concept of why man had to be redeemed. And it wasn't just about disobeying. It was not just, you know, I slipped up and made a mistake. No. What Adam did was deeper than that. And it was not ignorance. Okay? Because we all went astray and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him who? Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we see now, once man declared his independence, now we got a glory problem, because we no longer walk in the glory. We no longer think like God. We have gone astray from the kingdom of heaven. You got it? So Adam had gone astray, and he carried all of us with him because we was in his loins. They had no children at this point. Now remember, sin, what does sin mean? Asham, A-S-H-A-M. And that word simply means guilt of rebellion. Ooh, Jesus. So what we see is that Adam number one, I'm going to call him Adam number one, transgressed or violated the covenant that God had with man and the earth. Adam decided he was going to violate the covenant. What was man given initially? Dominion over the earth. However, Adam number one abandoned and gave over to the devil the dominion. Say the dominion. Not over man, but over the earth. And all the wealth of the earth. Because in the earth, God had put all kinds of diamonds and rubies and all kinds of natural minerals and oils and all kinds of things that would make every person that lived on the earth rich. Nobody was supposed to be broke. There was never supposed to be poverty. Poverty is part of the curse. So to embrace poverty, you're saying to God, I don't appreciate what you did for me. I'd rather be broke. And to act like he didn't do it is to slap him in the face, to dishonor him. Woo, Jesus. So Adam surrendered all his dominion over the earth to the devil and all the wealth in it. That's why the world owned most of the wealth. Because the devil is going to give it to his children. And he makes it difficult for you, the believer, to have it. But we have a supernatural edge. It's called the Word of God, the Spirit of God living in us, we have an edge that outsmarts the devil every time. This is what we're supposed to use. Every time we encounter anything in our life, you're not supposed to engage in any activity in your life without the faith of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. You're not supposed to engage because you are not normal. Whew. Man, I wish I could help you see that the way it is in my heart. You are not normal. Say, I'm not normal. There's nothing normal about poverty. There's nothing normal about sickness and disease. But if you accept it, it'll be normal in your life. And it will govern you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So Adam abandons all of this dominion. And God can't do a thing about it at this moment. Do you realize that? Because he gave it to man. He leased it out to man for 6,000 years. I give you time. He gave us 6,000 years to redo this whole earth and beautify. That was the covenant. Cut between man, God, and the earth. Jesus, hallelujah. Now watch this. Rebellion has to do with death. Because that's the penalty of rebellion, is death. Because that's what sin is. Sin is the guilt of rebellion. You're rebelling against your governing authority. There is another word that is very famous, and it's called treason. See, in school, you learn the word treason. In the Bible, they say rebellion and sin, but they're both the same. Look at Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. Because he says, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So then he says, okay, now since I'm in the wrong verse, look at verse 23. For the wages of sin, let's read verse 20 again. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now go down to verse 23. But the wages of sin, or the wages of rebellion, the wages of rebellion, because sin and rebellion is the same thing. The wages of rebellion is what? Death. That's the penalty for sin. That's the penalty for rebellion. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now you understand why the devil tried to have our youth to rebel against all authority. Because he know that sin will cause them to die prematurely. Y'all need to hear me. Y'all need to have a sit down at your own home. And will it in, because if you're a Christian, your children shouldn't be rebelling the way they are. It's something you didn't fix. Take time and get it fixed. Get the word in your children. Stop assuming they're learning in here. We didn't do that, and we were in good word churches. But when we got home, we taught our own children the word. We had Bible study every evening. We gave them Bible assignments. They had to learn Bible scriptures. They had to, you know, we gave them one at a time according to their age. But they had to learn the word just like us. You got to get the word in your kids, because the devil has no problem training your kids to rebel. And they'll rebel to the place they don't want to hear nothing you have to say when it comes to this word. This is why we got to get our money. Stop acting like you all dead on a bag of chips. You need some money to persuade young people today. Why you think they follow the basketball stars and the movie stars and all those reality shows? Because that's where the money is in their mind. And the church got to grow up so the money come to us. Amen? For the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty of sin. That's the penalty of rebellion. It is called death. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 5:12. You right there at it? Go backwards and look at it. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, say one man, sin entered. Who was that one man? Adam. So as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death because of rebellion. Whenever you see the word sin, you need to interject the word rebellion. It might make it a little bit plainer for you. Death by rebellion, and so death passed upon all men. So everybody that was in Adam that had not been born got the same sentence as he got. Because all had sinned based on what Adam did. Now everybody is a sinner. Everybody gonna be born into sin, shaped in iniquity. Where you were supposed to be born in righteousness. When Adam sinned or rebelled, the entire world was affected. Sin entered the human experience or the human race, and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity, and thus all became sinners. So now everybody's a sinner, no matter what he have coming out of him. Everybody is now a sinner. Everybody now, the devil is their father. God the Father is no longer their father because he disconnected. He went astray. He rebelled. And we're going to talk about that rebellion. Now, rebellion is built into the nature or the character of all mankind. It's automatic. Where righteousness should have been automatic, it's not. Sin is, rebellion is. Simply because we was all in the loins of Adam's when Adam's failed. And since Adam, number one, was the prototype, say prototype. And whatever's in the prototype, that when the prototype goes to be reproduced, rebellion is automatically a part of the nature now. You can't change it. You know, it's kind of like we go and try to experiment and do stuff just to see if, and then once you do it, it's kind of hard to get back out of that if. My son, you know, when he was younger, he wanted to be a scientist, and he was always trying to figure out stuff and blow it up, whatever, but you know, thank God he didn't blow up the house. No. No, he was smart enough to know some things, but still, he was always experimenting on stuff. You know, and I got one daughter, she was always experimenting food. Didn't nobody want to eat her food either, because you didn't know what she had in it. We didn't want to eat her cooking. The only safe thing she cooked was chicken, and we know she couldn't. Because you didn't know what you were going to get when that child cooked. I mean, but you see, you laugh at it today, but they were experimenting. But some of those experiments backfired, and that's what happened to Adam. They thought they could experiment and still have God in their life. You can't sin a little bit and think you're going to empty God out of your life, and then you're just going to jump back in. Oh, no, there's a penalty to pay for what you did. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for you to get back where you used to be. Amen? But anyway, whatever's in the prototype, that's what's going to be in what comes out of the prototype. So now we have rebellion as the first nature of all mankind. Look at Proverbs 22. I know y'all know this one because we taught this one enough that you ought to know it by memory. Proverbs 22, verse 15. And we're going to see another word that is, when you look it up, it means rebellion. It's the word foolishness. It's another word for rebellion. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It, in other words, it is interwoven in that child's nature and his character. And God says, you're going to have to do some natural stuff and some spiritual stuff to get that out of that kid. Because now we, because see, that's first nature to the child is to rebel. You got to hear this. This is first nature for that child to rebel. And for you to coddle and to play it like rebellion is not around. You're not a spirit-filled parent. You need to get on top of stuff. Because that the Bible says, listen what the Bible says, but the rod of correction would drive it far. Dr. Davis always taught that when they're young, they live, kids run on instinct. If you tap them hard enough on their little buttocks, the instinct will kick in. And see, this is why I always had a designated weapon. I never beat my kids with my hands. We had a little paddle, and their names are all labeled on the paddle. I would go buy those bolo bats not to play with, take all the balls off, and that was their paddle. One break, we got an extra one in the house. Why? Because as their instinctive nature, foolishness, rebellion is bound in them. That's why you can tell your child, don't touch that, and what they do? Touch it. See, that's interwoven in their nature. How am I going to get it out? By using the rod of correction. And then when their reasoning come on, then you got to tell them the word. Show them through the word. That's why the Bible tells us to catch it when they're a child. Because sometimes as they get older, you got to do something different because rebellion is rising up in them. And it's not always pretty. So we see, it says rebellion is now the first nature of all children. But the rod of correction should drive it far from him. So Adam rebelled by choice. Say he had a choice. See, God built inside of us the ability to choose. He told Adam, don't eat of that tree, which means I'm giving you a choice. But if you choose the wrong choice, there's a penalty for your choice. There's going to be truth or consequences, which one you want. But there's going to be something that take place because of your choices. And what we like to do as Christians, we make incorrect choices. We make wrong choices deliberately. And then we want to act like God just going to wipe it away. No, you got to deal with some of your bad choices. Now, God will help you through them. But your bad choices were deliberate. And you deliberately left God out of that choice. Because you didn't want God to tell you not to do it. Now, he's your way out of it, but you're going to have to trust him and listen to him all over again. You're not going to be able to do your thing. That's the problem we have with a lot of people in the church. They make wrong choices, and then they want God to fix it overnight. No, there's some things you have to live through and overcome. Now, Adam got to live with his choice. Because Adam was not misled. The Bible said the woman was deceived. And that's because Adam allowed her to keep interacting with the snake. That's why the snake got cursed when God began to do what he did. Because the snake used to walk upright. And the God says, on your belly you're going to crawl. So that means he wasn't crawling at first. That's part of the curse. Put him on his belly. Because he allowed the devil to use him. To talk through him. And the Bible says the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. The woman, that tells me Adam was not attending her the way he should have. Or he was standing by, let her talk to the snake. Because, you know, you get used to your surroundings. And, you know, kind of like what we do in our environments when we got our relatives and we get together. We kind of let your hair down. And then you interact in a conversation that you should not mess with. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That's and sometimes the men sit back and you hear your wife saying certain things and you don't correct them. And you know they're not right. And wives, you hear your husband saying stuff, you know they're not right, but you're scared to correct them, whatever, whatever, whatever. That's what was going on here. They call that love today. God called that rebellion. But anyway, anywho. So we see the woman, but she kept talking to her man. Because see, Adam wasn't misled. He was persuaded. Say persuaded. See, when you're persuaded, you're not misled. Oh, Jesus. That means you make a conscious decision to go ahead and adhere to something. You know, women got a powerful ability to persuade their husbands if they utilize it correctly. But it's not supposed to use to manipulate the man in a wrong way. We're not supposed to use our ability to persuade. So Eve persuaded Adam to sin. How many of y'all ever persuaded your husband to go buy something y'all couldn't afford and then y'all in debt? And it's become an argument between you and your spouse. He blaming you and you blaming him. Okay. Y'all got the picture, right? Okay. So this woman is talking to her man. And they both, say they both, committed treason. I use the word treason because I want you to see the gravity of it. So what is treason? Treason is the crime, say crime, of betraying one's own government, especially, say especially, by aiding in the overthrow or to kill the sovereign leader. Because that was the devil's plan. Adam knew that's what the devil's intent was. Eve may not have known the devil's intent while he was talking to her. That's why the Bible says she was deceived. But Adam wasn't. Nonetheless, they both committed treason. Food for thought. This is a freebie. Say, this is a freebie. Doubt is the ultimate treason against faith. To doubt what God says, you are committing treason against faith. You need to fix that in you. Because we shouldn't doubt the word of God. Now, there are three elements necessary for an offense to constitute treason. Because this, like I told you, this was just not an ordinary offense or mistake. This is treason we're dealing with. Number one, there must be an agreement or commitment of allegiance to the current legal order. So in other words, there must be something that is tying me to the country that I'm getting ready to betray. Adam didn't make himself. God did. And God put him on the earth. That tied him to God because God was his father. And in that covenant agreement, God says, I give you dominion so you can act just like your daddy. That tied him in the covenant. So he had a legal allegiance. Number two, you must show intent. Adam helped plan along with his wife the levy to levy a war against the kingdom of heaven. See, there was a plan. That means that the intent was there was a plan already set. They were planning this, even if, let's say they didn't follow through, but the plan was intact. You understand? That's your intent. There's a plan to commit treason. See, it wasn't just, I can't imagine Adam just telling, I mean, the serpent just telling Eve, don't eat the apple or don't eat the fruit. No, this conversation had to go a little bit further for them to commit treason. He had to show them in some kind of way that they were missing out something with God. That God had kept back something from them that they should have known. That's what most people do when they commit treason. They know secrets of the kingdom. See, you got to understand something. The devil already been kicked out of heaven at this point, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. Hold on. So we must, number one, there must be an agreement or commitment of allegiance to the current legal order. Secondly, you must show intent. So there must be a plan, and there was a war plan levied against the kingdom of heaven. Today, many are not arrested or killed for treason. It is now called rioting and unlawful assembly. But when you rise up against your nation called the United States of America, you are committing treason when you have an allegiance to this state, this nation. Back in the day, you wouldn't have made it. You'd have been in jail or they'd have killed you. Today, they just call it unlawful assembly. If it's unlawful, why allow them to assemble? Because I'm rising up against my government. My government not right. You shouldn't rise up against your government. Go to another country and see if that worked for you over there in the new country. I bet you won't do it. Only in America can you be a fool and still live. And then we want to shut down our ability to have the right to speak. No. You can't let that happen in this nation, because if you do, you're not on your watch as a Christian. Number three, there must be follow through. Action must take place. There's a follow through. Say follow through. Adam, number one, and his wife followed through on the plan to overthrow heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is treason, rebellion, and worthy of death. See, Adam willfully rendered to the enemy not only his dominion over the earth, but he shared with his enemy how to access God. Top secrets. He gave him tangible support and aid to overthrow heaven, or so they thought they were going to do it. This is why God had to put Adam and Eve out of the garden. Because it wasn't ignorance. It was deliberate. They planned a coup against heaven along with the enemy of God. Whenever you doubt God, you are coming in agreement with the devil. And you are planning a coup against the God you say you serve. I know. It don't feel good when you scratch that itch and go and get it right. It's time to tighten our belt. And we're going to walk by faith, or you're not going to walk at all. Because God is a God of faith. So here's what you need to know. Satan was not always called Satan. Remember that? He was called who? Lucifer, which meant son of the morning star. Look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel, I'm going to close in just a minute. Ezekiel 28, look at verse 13. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. It says, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Who are you talking? He's talking about the devil now. He's talking about the devil. Said God is talking about the devil now. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The devil was decked out. Because he stood before the throne of God with praise and worship. But he not only was over praise and worship, it was something else that we didn't give him credit for that he was over. Watch this. And the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets, and of thy pipes. He said, your pipes was glorious. You could sing. Woo, Jesus. Was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. It was already God put it in him. Watch this. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He was right there with God all the time, standing before God with praise and worship, just singing. But not only, but see, God caused him to interact with the earth because he was over commerce. He was over trade. Ooh, Jesus. Now you see why you got to get the money. You got to get it back from the devil. Ooh, Jesus. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. Till rebellion was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, here it comes. He's over commerce. They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, or thou hast rebelled. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up, verse 17, because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. He kicked them out of heaven, sent them to the earth. Then he put man in the earth, where the devil was. Watch this. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, commerce. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Woo, Jesus. It says, listen to this. Thank you, Jesus. See, the devil was miserable because he got kicked out. And misery loves what? So he's going to take God's prized possession at this time, mankind. And if he can corrupt mankind, he hurting God. In his mindset, he hurting God. So the devil don't like you to be happy. So don't think he's going to make you happy. No. All those stars you see out there, those celebrities, they are not happy people. See, the devil, who was Lucifer at that time, thought. That he thought to himself that he would be above God. So be careful of what you think. Why? Because your thoughts become actions. Be careful the thoughts that you entertain, because one day you're going to act it out. That's why 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, talks about casting down every vain imagination that challenges the will of God in your life. That's our assignment. You're not supposed to entertain weird thoughts. Not against the kingdom, not against the local church, not against individuals. You're not supposed to entertain weird thoughts. We're supposed to think right thoughts about people. And if they're doing wrong, pray for them. You don't have the authority to put nobody in heaven or hell. But we do have a responsibility to believe God for them if they're not right. So rebellion was found in Lucifer. And Lucifer followed through with his rebellion plan by developing a coup against the government of heaven. He convinced one-third of the angels to follow him. He had a lot of influence. That's why the devil is called the father of lies, or the source of lies. He is the very source of rebellion. He started rebellion. He had no reason to rebel. He took it upon himself to think a thought that he should have never thought. Because of the sin of rebellion, he was kicked out of heaven and he fell to the earth. Now listen, God had already announced death upon Satan when Satan hit the earth. God had already told him, we just read, that he was going to go and he was going to burn in hell. Let's look at Isaiah 14. Are y'all learning this morning? See, you need all the pieces of this puzzle so you can understand how to appreciate what's been provided for you. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That was his name. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, the sin of rebellion. He's rebelling against his governing authority. He's rebelling against his own creator. Like Pinocchio. Every time he told a lie, what? His nose grew. Because he was rebelling against who? His creator. And his creator told him not to lie. But he lied. And every time he lied, his nose would grow. See, he didn't know his nose would grow until he started lying. But his creator told him, you can't lie. You need to go back and watch Pinocchio. No, you don't. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's talking really big. He's going to really take over heaven. What he's saying, I'm going to overthrow God. And he convinced Adam and Eve to go into this same coup along with one third of the angels. He says, I will, in verse 14, I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Look at verse 15. God says, but I know how this plan. He says, I made you, yet thou shalt be brought down to where? To the size of the pit. Ooh, Jesus. He says, you're going to go down under the world into the depths of the pit. See, hell was never made for you and I. It was made for the devil and the one-third of angels. It wasn't designed for us to go. But, say but, if you commit the same sin as the devil, you get the same penalty. Ooh. Because in Adam number one, the prototype is still running. Do you not know Adam's blood was so strong that 7,000 years later in our generation, his blood is still killing people? Because it was so tainted with sin. All death is in the blood. All life is in the blood. We'll talk about that next week. So we see God had already announced death upon Satan and the angels that follow him. Look, death existed, but it didn't kill as long as Adam and number one obeyed. Because of Lucifer's rebellion, death existed. See, God announced it on him first. Because of rebellion. That's why, and because Lucifer was in the earth, God had to tell mankind, don't disobey me or else you're going to die. Because death was already existing for Lucifer. And since he was kicked out and he fell into on the earth, we had to know that we had an arch enemy here. And God said, don't disobey me. Don't eat of the tree that I tell you not to eat of. You can freely eat any tree you want to. You got all things around you that you need. There is no shortage and no lack. Whatever you want is in this garden. Just don't touch that one tree. Don't go eat of that tree. That was the only thing they had to resist. And they let the serpent talk them into forming a coup with the devil against God. Because the devil knew he was going to hell anyway. It had already been announced upon him. He couldn't change God's mind about it. Because he rebelled when he had no right to rebel. Woo, Jesus. So death existed, but it couldn't kill Adam and Eve as long as they obeyed. But because of Lucifer's rebellion, death existed. And God knew that the devil was on the earth, but he put man in charge to restore the earth. Because the devil had torn this earth up out of anger. He just had a temper tantrum and began to destroy because he was angry with God. So Adam was supposed to bring heaven culture to the earth. God, in essence, told Adam, if you eat of the forbidden tree, you will experience death like the devil. You will get the same wages as Satan, which is death. So I'm taking my time so that you can really appreciate what has been provided for us. Because sometimes we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but we really don't stop and meditate on it. What it costs God to get Jesus into the earth. And we need to appreciate that. So now God has a bloodline problem. Something has to be done. What will God do? Come by next week and we're going to talk about it. Because the will of God for us still is in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, we pray this morning that your will be done in our lives. We're not trying to run away because of responsibility. You made mankind unique. You made us in your image. You made us to have dominion. You made us to have wealth and power and influence. You made us, Lord, to do just like you. We have the ability to speak and change circumstances. We can speak and change our lives. We can speak and change our finances. We can speak and change our relationships. Because we are speaking spirits just like you. And since we are your express image, we have decided that we're going to talk, look, and act just like you. And therefore, we'll get the God kind of results in our lives. And we're in agreement with that, and we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for every person listening. If there's one that need to be born again, I pray now that you open up your heart and allow Jesus in. Let him begin to minister to you. And when you receive him, come on and say this. Say, Jesus, I sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. I'm asking you to forgive me. Come into my heart and be my God. Realign me with heaven again. I want to experience heaven in this earth. Teach me, Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit, and I believe that my life is now being transformed by the Spirit of God. I believe that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you have recommitted or you committed your life to the Lord this morning, please write us. Let us know. Write us, email us, however you communicate. Our announcer will let you know. But let us know what God did in your life. Because God is a good God. And we're going to continue to talk about him. Amen. So today, go away in your private time. Spend time with God. Meditate on his goodness. Find out who you are, what you can do, and what you have in him. Because it's really good. It's an awesome plan that God planned for us. And remember, the will of God for you is in the earth as it is in heaven. See you next time. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.
Thank you for watching today's broadcast. Now, we don't want you to miss when we go live again. So if you live in the United States, sign up for Rapture Go. Text Rapture to 757-780-4949. We'll send you a text message every time we go live. If you live outside of the United States, then subscribe to our YouTube channel and like us on Facebook so you never miss one of our live broadcasts. We thank you for watching. God bless you.